For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What about specifically coaching defense? You really take some pride in defense. That's been your expertise for all this time. Knowing going into it, you were going to have such a stripped down roster that continued to lose pieces even as you went.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you have a roster that you coach, and you coach those guys to the best of your ability, and you keep coaching them. And that's what we do. And then look at the tape. What can you improve and move to the next week? That's all I know how to do. And that's what I'm going to do this year, too.
All right, that's the head coach of the Chicago Bears, Matt Eberflus. Join us right here on 670 The Score, on the air until 6 o'clock tonight. We'll go to your phone calls. We're going to hear more from Coach Flus in a moment. Let's update the scoreboard, however. In the National League, L.A. with a 3-1 lead of the Diamondbacks. Big ball game there as the Cubs knocking on the door for a wild card spot. Milwaukee has just beaten the Cardinals. Great news for the Cubs. 9-3 the final. Let's see. Baltimore with a 5-2 lead over the White Sox. That ball game now in the bottom of the fifth inning. Houston with a 2-2 ball game with the Reds. That game is in the third. You know, Corbin Burns, Alex Kuhn is our tech and producer, doing a great job today. So Corbin Burns of Baltimore, remember, the Brewers got like 2 or 3 really good prospects from Baltimore in that trade. Burns is a free agent, is he not, at the end of the season? So, you know, if I'm Jed Hoyer, who, by the way, will be on with Mully and Hall tomorrow, if I'm Jed Hoyer, you want to hear my master plan? If I'm the Cubs, I'm throwing the truck at him. I'm giving him a ton of money. Can you imagine the starting pitching staff of the Cubs next year with Corbin Burns if he signs with the Cubs?
How many years are you willing to give a 30-year-old pitcher?
All right,
3 or 4?
What?
3 or 4, 5? How long are you going with
it? It's not, number one, it's not going to be, it won't be, I would say I'm willing to go 6.
Okay. 6 years.
Yes. I'm willing to go 6 years.
That he's going to be really good on the front end. He's going to help you get to
if he gets to compete
for a championship.
Absolutely. Here's my take. So when these teams sign pitchers to 10 years, they know they're not getting 10 years out of a pitcher. But if they can get them to a World Series, win a World Series, one, if two, that's unbelievable. But if that, in that window, if you give Corbin Burns a 6-year deal and you're thinking to yourself, with this starting staff, I can get not only to the playoffs, but deep, deep, deep into the playoffs, a World Series appearance or two, maybe three, but definitely two, then it's worth it. Because the Cubs have the cash, let's be honest. I mean, you know, they're printing money. They got a lot of money. And you know what? Again, I don't own the ball club. But I'm saying, you look at the big picture, you put him in that rotation, wow. Okay. Let's see. We got Eberflus, his press conference, standing by. Let's go to James on I-55. James, welcome. 670 The Score.
Hello.
Yes.
I want to talk about the Bears.
Well, I'm talking about the Bears. How many wins for the Bears?
Probably 10 to 11.
Well, you're a smart man. I'm glad you listened to the show. I appreciate it. 10 or 11, and that's what the Bears are going to do starting Sunday against the Titans. Plenty of coverage right here on 670 The Score. Let's go to Coach Flus.
So our prayers and condolences go out with the Nagel family. Katie Nagel passed away this morning. She's had health complications, and she's was most recently George's assistant, and then before that worked here for over two decades. So we want to recognize her for her, what a kind soul, beautiful woman, and just recognize her and her family, and our condolences go out to them as she makes her transition. Captains. We got captains. Voted on those last week. Really good group of guys. From Jalen Johnson to DJ, Caleb Williams, KB, the two backers and the two tight ends. So it's I know it's a larger group than we're used to, but we have a bigger group of leadership now that we've had these couple years here under our belt. And now we got this third year going, so I really feel strong about those guys. And they know the first rule of leadership is leading themselves and being the example we want to see in terms of work ethic, in terms of leadership, in terms of standing up when you have to speak. But mostly lead by your actions. You know, how we do things and the standards we hold each other to is so important. And our best players got to show that every single day. And they got to bring it. So those guys do that. And I'm excited about those guys being a big part of our leadership. Not all of the leadership, but big part of that. Labor Day practice today was good. We had some good work. Today's just about really getting back into it. I always like to be able to throw the ball around a little bit, do some individual focus on some fundamentals there. And we had the bonus week, so we had some time to get a head start on Tennessee. We did that last week a little bit with a Wednesday, Thursday practice, so we feel good where we are. Guys will have tomorrow off, get the bodies right. Got to have a real physical practice on Wednesday in pads. And Thursday we'll have a good physical practice on situations that are a little bit in shells, and then we'll work on to a fast Friday into that weekend. So feel good about that. But with that, open up to questions.
Caleb is the captain. Have you ever been part of a team that had a rookie captain before, and what?
Yeah, I haven't had that before. But again, I put it to a vote. I had it with offense and defense, and I had the guys rank those guys, and he came out really high. So and all those guys did. That's what's great about it. And we had other guys that had great, great votes too, just not enough to get into that captain's vote. But that's a really good sign that he's got leadership throughout the entire team.
Matt, can you give some insight on your offseason planning for opponents as far as how you divide that up? When do you guys get into the 12 teams or whatever, 13, 14 teams that you're going to face? Mm-hmm. And when you get the players, when did you get the players started on Titans?
Yeah, so that's always a great question, you know, in terms of the balance of that. We do it without even knowing the players knowing it at times, because we have a bunch of walkthroughs and we'll feature an opponent during that walkthrough. We'll set up our schemes against those guys, you know, their fronts and their coverages, their particular favorite runs that they like to run, their play actions and screens and all the things that they do. You know, so you always want to work on the first opponents, typically. You know, we're playing the AFC, you know, early this year, and we don't typically play those every single year. So, and that being our first three games, we've certainly put some work on those guys. You know, and then you work on an opponent that might have a unique type of scheme during the course of training camp. And I think it's always great looking ahead like that. And again, a lot of times the players don't know we're doing it. You know, we just got to work our structures and our schemes against those guys. But, and then if you're, then you, of course, work in your division too. You're working in your division. Same thing. And we get that during training camp. We work on that exclusively against our division too.
Does your staff dedicate specific days or weeks going back maybe to the spring? Say, okay, this week we're working on San Francisco. This week we're working on Green Bay.
Yeah, we do. We spend a few days on each opponent, making sure we're getting it down. You know, the guys, it'll take the guys more time than that to be able to break those guys down in terms of their, you know, specific area. You know, like Seymour obviously does our run game, and, you know, Dave Berganzi and Travis, you know, look at our defensive run, you know, run defense. So, yeah, we go way back into the spring, and we set that up.
This is your third year, but does it feel like a bit of a fresh start or a reset now that you guys have gotten the roster turned over? You got the quarterback that this regime picked. Does it feel like a bit of a fresh start, almost a reset?
I would say that every year is different. You know, and next year at this time is going to be different than this year. You know, we'll have players that have more experience. We'll be, you know, have more different guys come in free agency. So I think every team's different. I think you got to really reset that once you get into February, March, you know, and then really get a feel for the guys, you know, into April. And then we really start that April 15 and then start working that, you know, bringing the team together at that point. And that's a process. We're very authentic about that. We're very intentional about that. And like I said, I can feel this team coming together faster, you know, just because of the maturity of it. And some of it's because of what you said, Herb. You know, we've been around each other for 3 years, and, you know, that certainly helps that part of it.
Yeah, I know you had, with it's obviously been a long and eventful road from February and March to now. What is your own personal outlook and optimism and energy now going into a regular season test year? I would say it probably feels like a build-up for this.
Yeah, we're all excited. You know, I could tell the guys are excited. We had a team meeting this morning. You know, when I broke them down afterward, you can tell the guys are excited just about the competition. You know, we're excited to compete together in a football game. And we're excited, you know, full strength and be able to do that. And we're just excited about that opportunity we get this Sunday. Larry, what do you got? Cut off.
You obviously haven't been in the AFC South since 2021, and I think all four teams have changed coaches since then. But does your experience there help at all preparing to play those teams this year, especially early in the season?
It does. I got some, you know, I've obviously played some of those players that are on the other sideline, but that certainly helps. So I'm familiar with that. But again, they've changed, and that's why we did some extra work on those guys. You know, there's all new coaches, and so it's adjusted and changed from that standpoint.
Matt, will you still do the honorary captains each week?
Yeah, I don't know. I may. I haven't really. I mean, I thought about it already, but I don't know if I'm going to do that or not. So right now we got eight captains, and I think they're a solid group.
For Caleb, what's the balance that you hope he strikes in being, you know, wearing the C, being a leader, but also knowing that there's going to be growing pains probably for a rookie trying to figure out how to strike that balance himself? What do you hope to impart on him about that process?
Yeah, just be yourself. You know, just be yourself. Be authentic and, you know, let it come to you, which he's done. You know, he's worked his tail off. He's preparing. You know, he's got great passion, you know, in the practice and in the games, and you know, that'll all come to him naturally.
Coach, if you look at the big picture for your time here, if you go back to when you were interviewing for this job and you're talking with Ryan and he's laying out his blueprint of how you guys are going to go from what you inherited to where you hope that you are now, what did you think of that path, knowing that it was going to be really difficult at first, that you specifically might accumulate a lot of losses on your record?
Yeah, I mean, this is a team game, right? So you say all that, but I would say that we knew what it was going to be, how difficult it was going to be. We laid out the plan in terms of what it was going to take and laying the foundation of our standards and how we operate as a football team and how to bring those guys together. And that's an important part. And we've always been together, you know, even though the wins weren't stacked up early on. We've always played together. We've always played the right way. So add talent year three, then, you know, we should see a good product on the field now.
What about specifically coaching a defense? You take some pride in defense. That's been your expertise for all this time. Knowing going into it, you were going to have such a stripped down roster that continued to lose pieces even as you went.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you have a roster that you coach, and you coach those guys to the best of your ability, and you keep coaching them. And that's what we do. And then look at the tape. What can you improve and move to the next week? That's all I know how to do. And that's what I'm going to do this year, too.
Yeah, with regard to just the excitement that you feel like at the beginning, you know, every team is excited this time of year, no matter even if they're going to go 4-13, whatever. Is there anything about the excitement you sense on this team that is different than the normal season or your previous two seasons? Is there anything different about that?
I would say the competition that we've had up to this point during training camp, you can feel that. That's real, going against each other. And our players, offensive players going against defensive players, that competition is real. And the guys did a really good job of competing and really sharpening each other during that time. And we're excited about this competition coming up.
How much of it is any of it a sense that this team could take a real big leap this year as opposed to the previous 2 years? You have to be a playoff team, you know, you could win 11, 12, whatever games. Is that any part of it? Or is that just something that you don't even want to, you know, think about?
Yeah, I mean, there's excitement, but again, we're focused on this opponent. You know, the opponent that's in front of us, that's all we can do, right? So let's get the Sunday and compete in that game and then move on.
All right, that's the Fluce. Matt Eberflus, head coach of the Chicago Bears. In a moment, John Greenberg outstanding writer, commentator. Joining us from The Athletic right here, 670 The Score, this Chuck Swerve.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
We're back with Chuck Swirsky on 670 The Score.
And welcome back. Always a pleasure on the air until 6 o'clock tonight. Then we have Cubs baseball as the Cubs take on the lowly Pittsburgh Pirates. The Pirates once again in another rebuilding stage. They do have some young talent. They're 10 games under the 500 mark. But for the Cubs, they are 71-66. The Cubs knocking on the door for the third wild card spot. In the National League, the Cubs have won 6 in a row, 9 of 10. They went 8-1 on their recent road trip, and they've got the Pirates for 3 before they take on the Yankees. And again, if you got a ticket for the Yankees-Cubs, you are in luck, because I was saying earlier, folks, it is so hard to get a ticket for that series, period. White Sox, who have lost... How many of the White Sox lost now? Like 10 in a row? They're trailing Baltimore. And that ball game now, let me get an update on the scoreboard here with Baltimore. They just refreshed the Orioles, and it's 8-2 Baltimore over the White Sox, as the Orioles coming in at 79-59. They're battling the Yankees for first place in the American League East. Also, the Astros with a 2-2 ball game with the Reds. That game now in the fourth inning of play. Dodgers with a 3-1 lead over the Diamondbacks. Good news for the Cubs. That game is in the top of the fifth inning. Milwaukee crushed the Cardinals this afternoon. More good news for the Cubs. And again, the final was 9-3. Joining us, John Greenberg, does a great job with The Athletic. John, how you doing?
Hey, anytime I can go on with Joe Bag of Donuts on
Joe Bag of Donuts. You know, I was thinking about you and Nick Friedell with the Bobcats taking on Syracuse over the weekend.
You know, and we celebrated that game. He and I went to it a few years ago when I was in Athens. And then this year we didn't go to it, but he and I went to Pearl Jam together on that day instead.
Ah, very nice. And so. The quarterback for Syracuse, he's the former Ohio State quarterback, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, yes, he's that. And the Bobcats lost their quarterback to Indiana.
Yep.
And I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen to that team this year. They have a pretty good running back, but we'll see how Parker Navarro does.
That's true. You know, I'm lost now. I used to be able to name, like, you know, the top, you know, maybe two or three players on Division, you know, one football. But I don't know it anymore with the transfer portal.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I used to be like that too, Chuck. And then you know what happened? I think once I had kids and I lost that slice of my attention span, that could pay attention to college sports in a pro sports town. So I'm like, I'm just not as good as I used to be. But now, even like, you know what's funny is now everyone is like, you know, people like us that have lapsed because no one knows who's on any team because it's the kind of free agency that NFL players dream of. But now they're getting in college.
And it's pro football at the collegiate level, basically. That's what it is. I mean, if let's put it this way, John, if you're a really good quarterback or if you're a backup quarterback that has an upside at the collegiate level, you're making at least $1.5 to $2 million a year.
I think those numbers are a little inflated from what I've heard. But, yeah, because that's the other thing about this. It being the Wild West is you really don't know. And a lot of schools lie. And people play, you know, the kids lie. They'll say, like, oh, yeah, I'm making this much money. I've heard numbers are pretty inflated. But, yeah, you can – I mean, Arch Manning's making, like, you know, way more than his grandpa made with the Saints, and he's the backup at Texas. So you can make a pretty good living in college. And you know what? Given with the big college programs, what they make and what they, you know, what the coaches make and what the ADs make, you know, a good college quarterback should, I guess, get paid a lot of money.
Probably. I agree with you there. So, John, listen, we could go a lot of different directions. And by the way, it's always a pleasure having you on because we get to a Bobcat connection with Ohio
Absolutely.
U. But I do want to talk about a myriad of things, a lot of things going on in Chicago. Now, you covered the Sky game the other night, right?
Yes, I was there. Absolutely.
Okay, tell me about the atmosphere for a Sky game. And as far as the fever coming to town and how the WNBA kind of positioned the scheduling because they knew what they were doing, right, with Reese.
Yeah, right.
So, but I mean, take us into that world for a moment.
Oh, it's great. I mean, like, and I've been to games, you know, I've been to a couple Fever Sky games. I've been to games where it was, you know, the Fever weren't in town and the atmosphere. The atmosphere's really good at a Sky game right now. Now, it's just Winchester Arena's not really made for sellout crowds and these packed crowds. It's a, you know, they don't have enough concessions. I think the security's been okay, but it feels very crowded in there. But, you know, it's a good vibe. They've got a good mix of people there, different kinds of people, different demographics. It gets loud. You know, it really does. I mean, you know, obviously when the Fever are there, it's, you know, it's what I like to call a bipartisan crowd because, you know, it's a good mix. A lot of Fever fans, a lot of Iowa fans. You know, and just the Caitlin Clark brings those fans with her, especially in, you know, in Chicago, which is like, you know, like there's an Iowa bar every corner, you know,
a lot of
Iowa fans here, you know, and they can all drive in, they can drive in from Indiana. So it was fun. It's, I mean, she's fantastic. She's just such a great player. And you can see, you know, I saw her play, you know, in June, and you can see how much better she is now and how much better that team is.
The break really helped her, right? I mean, with the All-Star break.
You have to. Yeah, and you know, it would have to help Angel Reese, too. Just like the way they go, you know, just going from college to like they finish up the national championship and like a week later is the draft and then they go to training camp. So, yeah, it's definitely helped her. You could just see like the team's more comfortable around her. I mean, she's such a great orchestrator. You know, she's so calm now. And, you know, I don't think we need to make it a competition for Rookie of the Year because it's not, but it's a 1-2. Like, there's nothing wrong with being the second best rookie in a stacked class for Angel Reese. I mean, she's going to be an all-star every year. She's going to get better. She's got to work on her footwork in the post. You know, she's got to work on her touch. If she was shooting like 60% from the floor, you know, it'd be great, but she's under 40. You know, so she's got to really improve her some of that stuff. But, you know, she's a great rebounder. She works hard. She plays every game. You know, she has nothing to apologize for. But Caitlin Clark is, you know, far and away the rookie of the year. And she'll get MVP votes, even though she shouldn't win.
Right.
She shouldn't win it, but, like, she'll get votes.
Correct. The Cubs, we got the Pirates-Cubs game, 670 the score at 605 pregame coverage. What do you make of what's going on with the Cubs?
I think it's a nice story. I mean, it's nice that they're competitive in September and Cubs fans have like a reason to still pay attention to them. There's nothing worse than this when you're bad in the last month of the season. It just feels like a kind of a waste of everyone's time. You should just want to fast forward it. You know, if Atlanta slips and, you know, the Mets don't do anything, then it could be a really great story. I just want to see it. It's great to see teams make the playoffs in this town because it doesn't happen often with some of these teams. So, you know, I think by the end of the season, you know, maybe people could, you you know, there's reason to complain that the team kind of frittered away a lot of the season, especially in the middle, and didn't take advantage of games they could have won. And then the team would be in a lot better situation than they are right now. But they didn't, and now they find themselves, you know, still kind of hoping they could get in. But, hey, like, part of it's just entertainment, man. Like, everything can't be chasing for rings, you know? So, like, I think it's great that the team is in an entertaining spot in the last month of the season. I just don't expect them to really, like, you know, unless the Braves could collapse. Teams collapse all the time.
Yep, absolutely. So here's my master plan. In the offseason, they're going to go for Corbin Burns. And that pitching staff with the Cubs is going to be unbelievable. So, I mean, if Tom Ricketts is listening to our conversation right now, I'm just saying that, like, he's a free agent. And I know Baltimore has a new owner, and the new owner is saying that he wants to spend money. But those Oriole players, who are all young and all very gifted and really, really good, they're all going to be coming up for big contracts in a couple of years. And you're not going to be able to pay everyone.
Burns is a Boris guy, isn't he?
I believe he is.
Yeah, I think it's going to be tough. So, in a perfect world, I'd love to see the Cubs go after Juan Soto. They should be, you know, the Chicago Cubs with, you know, they've kind of got their ducks in a row now with the stadium, and I know they're not making as much on Marquee as they'd like, but they should be the kind of team that bids for guys like Juan Soto, but they don't either. The owner doesn't seem to have the appetite for that, and I don't think Jed has the appetite for it, knowing what he knows about his budget. So it kind of stinks, but they need hitting. I mean, this offensive streak right now with 99 runs in 10 games is fantastic, but they need more hitting. They need more elite hitters on this team. So it would be great. Like, they can get Corbin Burns, fantastic. I don't think it's going to happen. I would love to see them just add a bat. You know, people talk about Vlad Jr. Is a guy that might need a new home. So they need an impact bat.
Yep,
is what they need.
Well, and I like Alonzo's the guy they drafted out there, this year. So you never know.
Right. Yeah, there's another guy. Alonzo's out there. I like this guy. One guy that I'm actually excited about, you know, I don't really get that excited about minor leaguers anymore, is that Cam Smith they drafted. I believe that's his last name. I'm getting confused with Cam Ward, the Miami quarterback. But this guy they drafted this year, he has shown some serious pop in the two levels of A-ball that he's been in. So that kind of excites me a little bit.
Yeah. Speaking of the Cubs, I just want to throw this out before we talk Bears. So, like, I love listening to Pat and Ron and Zach on the radio. It's great baseball. I love baseball on the radio. And I do watch the Cubs on TV. Taylor McGregor is a superstar. And, you know, she got elevated. I've never met her. I don't know her. I've never spoken to her at all in anything. And I'm just Joe Bag of Donuts watching on TV. She has the it factor, and she has elevated herself now to a high-level ESPN football crew with Dave Pasch. And I'll tell you what, I think she is the next superstar that is coming out of Chicago.
I did not – when you said you want to talk more Cubs, I did not expect Taylor McGregor superstar talk, but Taylor's great, so – I hope she is the next superstar. And I think it is great that she got promoted to another college football team, because that's really kind of, you know, in that role, that's what you want to be. You want to be on one of those top college teams and eventually in a top NFL team working as a reporter on the sidelines. I don't know. I mean, I guess every RSN, except for the White Sox, pretty much still uses a sideline person. But, you know, you really want that football job, because that's just those are great gigs. I know people, you know, that have done them, and how much fun they have and how much work it is. So, yeah, I hope Taylor keeps rising in that spot.
Yes. All right. So let's talk Bears. Caleb Williams is voted on by his teammates without ever taking one snap in the NFL as a team captain. So that's pretty impressive, John, right? Did you see this coming?
It makes sense. I mean, Joe Burrow, I was just looking at the Bengals ones, because they also have eight captains, like a third of the roster, like the Cubs. But
Need eight captains?
No, everyone's a captain. But but the fact that Burrow was a captain as a rookie, I think when you have a quarterback in that situation and you expect him to be the leader and he's acting like the leader already, I think you probably should be a captain. You know, if you're going to name that many if you're going to name eight captains, you know, I do think your quarterback should probably be one of them. So I think it's great they did it. I'm not trying to take that away from him, but I think it makes a lot of sense, because you're putting so much on this kid's shoulders, and you know, you can only do that if they're worthy of it. and he's worthy of it. I mean, you see the way he interacts. I think Hard Knocks, while people have been kind of killing it for being boring, I do think one thing they've shown is the way he interacts with his teammates, just the natural, they don't have to do interviews with him, just the natural interactions. And, you know, he gets killed for a lot. He got killed for a lot of stuff, but they were saying, you know, you watch USC last night and they said Caleb like immediately opted out of his bowl game because he wanted Miller Moss to get a chance because, like you and I talked about, these guys are like basically auditioning for jobs because of free agency. And he's tweeting last night to Miller Moss, you know, what a great job. You killed it. So I think we're seeing the real Caleb Williams, and I think his personality, he has a very strong personality, and the team needs it because, listen, he's got the toughest job in the world, Chuck, Bears quarterback.
I know that, but John, he's going to own this town. He will be the face of Chicago sports.
I hope so.
There is no question. If he stays
no question?
Healthy.
Not even a little question?
There is none. John, let me tell you what. If he stays healthy, he will own this city.
I want to find like archived audio of you from WGN talking about Bears quarterbacks back in the day and how they were going to own the city. You're like, Vince Evans is going to own this town.
I like Vince Evans. I thought Vince Evans was going to be terrific. And because I came in and it was Bob Avellini, Mike Phipps, and Vince Evans. I'm serious. That's what it looked like in 1979.
I've talked to Evans for stories in recent years, and he jokes that he's like, you know, I wish I came up playing these offenses the guys play now. He's like, because it would have fit my skill set. You know, he came up as a wing T quarterback in North Carolina high school.
Yep.
You know, winds up in California to be with his brother at a junior college and catches the eye of USC. You know, so Vince Evans wishes he's joked with me. He wishes he had these guys' tutelage. But yeah, listen, I agree with you, Chuck. Caleb Williams should be the face of this team. He's the kind of effervescent leader, you know, they've needed. And, you know, I always felt like Mitch was a little unsure and Justin never got a chance to really blossom, and it's because they had to make a change. And Jay was just Jay, you know, a completely interesting individual. So I think Caleb is different from all of them, and he just has this confidence that radiates, and you need that.
Yes, I'm just saying that I'm dating myself, but I don't care anymore. In 1979, the faces of Chicago sports, it was going to be Vince Evans and Reggie Theus. Reggie Theus, by the way, with the Chicago Bulls. I mean, you know, they were young, they were gifted, they were handsome, they were articulate, they could, you know, deliver their message. I mean, they had a brand before there was a brand.
Well, you still had Walter Payton, Chuck.
Yeah, you still have Walter Payton, but I'm talking about, like, I mean, you know, Walter was in his fifth, sixth year, whatever, and the Bears were going nowhere, and I didn't know whether or not, I mean, think about this. Had there been true free agency in the NFL, it would have been very interesting to see whether Walter Payton would have remained a Bear.
Right. No. I mean, who was the star of the 79 Cubs, Chuck? Kingman?
Well, the 79 Cubs was Dave Kingman. And
Not exactly the most.
No, not the nicest guy in the world either.
No.
I'll tell you what. But the first time I walked in to the Cubs clubhouse, I came from Columbus, Ohio. I was doing a sports talk show on WBNS. I walk in, I see Herman Franks, and he's the manager of the Cubs. I walk in, introduce myself. I said, I'd like to introduce myself, Chuck Swirsky. I'm doing a sports talk show. Okay, that's enough. Just like cuts me off. Boom. So then I go to Barry Foote. I go to Dick Tidrow. I go to Bill Buckner. I go to Dave Kingman. You talk about some of the rudest individuals. The guy that saved my butt 24/7, who was always on my show, Mike Grucco. Mike Grucco awesome. He
and
was
so great
awesome.
Today on the radio, on TV, right?
He is.
TV radio.
He is.
Who was your favorite guy to talk to back then? Was it Jim Finks? Who was
Jim
it?
Finks?
Was
without question. Jim Finks, this is the days now, folks, before internet. There was no cell phones, internet, social media, nothing. So he would drive home, and he would hear my sports talk show, me talking about the Bears and, you know, Roland Harper and Walter Payton and what's going on with the offensive line. And Neil Armstrong was the head coach. And he would call me off the air. And he would say,
amazing.
And Tony La Russa would come on the show after the White Sox game. In those days,
Sox games are 2 hours and 20 minutes, 2 hours 30. He would drive to Marina City where we would do the games, Marina Towers.
Wow.
The business. He would come in and do the last 30 minutes of the show with me.
Well,
I'm thinking,
well, he didn't try to fight you like he tried to fight Jimmy Pearsall
in
the studio, right?
Yes, that's correct. No, he was good to me. He was very nice. But
I have Jimmy Pearsall's book, and there's a great story about how Leland and LaRussa came to fight him.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. I think it happened after a Rangers-Sox game. But anyway, long, long time ago. Anyway, John, listen, you're terrific. I'd love to have you on the show again next time we do a show. And meantime,
it's just like when Mitch calls you and you jump on the phone, I'm the same way with you.
Well,
you call, I jump on.
No. You know I love you. But, all right, you know, Alex Kuhn is giving me the cut sign. I don't care, Alex. I got to ask him one more question.
Yes. I was going to say, I got one thing to tell you, Chuck.
Yes.
And you'll like this. Real quick, Alex, sorry about this. You know, the Titans are coming to town,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes, yes.
Who is the president of football operations for the Tennessee Titans?
Oh, he's a Bobcat.
Chad Brinker.
Yes.
He was a star running back when I was there.
Yes.
I wrote a feature on him last year. People can check it out at The Athletic. I wrote a feature on him. Immediately
I
got a promotion. So, and then the one of the PR people that travels is my good friend from Ohio University, Jared Puffer.
Wow.
He's been there for a long time. So we got a big OU connection coming in with the Tennessee Titans.
But they have no shot because this quarterback, Will Levis, who has a Mayo cologne. I mean, come on. That's pretty bizarre.
He's got his hands full against the Bears defense,
yes,
which has absolutely made Caleb Williams' life miserable in training camp.
Yes, it is. I mean, the line is 4.5, and I'm not really into lines and all that stuff, but I saw today 4.5 points. I'm telling you what, the Bears are going to win by at least 10.
All right. I'll have a bet with you, Chuck, of Mr. Pibb.
Yes.
You can take Bears minus 10. I'll take the other
side. All right. I'm going to be tweeting you during the game.
Okay.
And also, don't forget Joe Bag of Donuts. All right.
All right. Thank you, Joe.
All right, John. Always a pleasure.
Anytime.
All right, John Greenberg of The Athletic. And I'm a big fan, by the way, of Athletic. You know, the thing is, like, in this cookie-cutter world of ours where we want, like, 20-second sound bites, Alex, at least The Athletic gives you something you can read and you can get into the depth of it. And and they take different angles, and it's great stuff.
Yeah, it is. And I always like to hear John's coverage and read John's coverage.
Yes.
He's all over town.
Do you agree with me, by the way, about Taylor McGregor?
I think she's great. And to see her already, I mean, she's been doing the sideline reporting for ESPN for college football for a few years
now. But I'm talking
about
now.
Yeah, she's definitely climbing up the ladder.
She's headed to the NFL.
Yes, I agree with you.
And all these networks now that have $1 zillion tied into the NBA – I mean, if I were her agent, and I'm sure she does have an agent, but if she has an agent, I mean, that she is going to be making a ton of money. I mean, the money that's being, and I think it's great. More power to them. God bless them. Make as much money as you can. It's like Noah Eagle. Noah's like, I've known Noah. See, he was a pup.
Wasn't he 23 when he first got the Clippers job, right?
Clippers job.
Yeah. 23.
Yeah, well, the radio play-by-play announcer now for the Clippers graduate. He was the broadcaster for USC, not the commercial broadcast. He was the college announcer, and he's 21 years old, and he's great. He's a nice kid, very nice kid. All right, we got to take a break. I know I screwed you up, man. I'm sorry. It's my bad.
No, it's okay. I was like Willie Harris, the Cubs third base coach, and you were like PCA, and you just ran through that stop sign. You were flying around third, Chuck.
I like that analogy. That's good. Joe Bag of Donuts. He is out. Okay. 10 minutes to 5. We're on the air until 6 right here on 670 The Score.
We're back with Chuck Swirsky on 670 The Score.
And we're on the air tonight until just after 6 p.m. Then we got Cubs baseball, and we're going to have plenty of Cubs conversation in just a few moments. Let's update the scoreboard with Milwaukee as the Brewers beat the Cardinals this afternoon 9-3. Elsewhere, the White Sox trailing Baltimore 11-2. That game now in the bottom of the seventh inning. Elsewhere, Cleveland with a 4-1 lead over the Royals in the seventh inning. Cincinnati leading Houston 5-2 that ball game in the fifth. Dodgers 3, Arizona 1. That game is in the sixth inning. Good news for the Cubs there as they chase for that wild card spot. And let's see, we have just underway. We've got the Mariners and the Athletics and the Twins and the Rays. Again, we'll keep you posted of everything going on in the world of sports. And again, coming up, talking Cubs baseball. And speaking of Cubs baseball, we have plenty of activity going on tomorrow right here on 670 The Score. Matt Spiegel in the afternoon show will be live from the Rally House in Wrigley Field. That's coming up on Thursday from 2 to 6, and you can stop by to enter the chance to win prizes and shop the best team gear selection in Chicago. You can join 670 The Score at Rally House in Wrigleyville next Thursday from 2 to 6, or shop 10 Chicago area Rally House locations and online at rallyhouse.com. And speaking of what's going on, tune in tomorrow morning at 5:30. Mully and Hall will be giving you ready for the Bears game, the opener against Tennessee, and The Score will have in-depth coverage all week long right here on 670 The Score. Meantime, again, 6:05 pregame coverage, 6:40 with the star of the ball game with Ron and Zach and Pat on Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network. Let's take a break in a moment. We're going to talk Cubs baseball with Tony Andracki of Marquee Sports Network right here on 670 The Score. This is Chuck Swirsky.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal, the raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.